This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending is the news we just heard from Andy Reid in the last 15 minutes. That is that Felix Anyodike Uzama has a hamstring strain. Yes, a hamstring strain. And he is likely to be placed on the IR, which would end his season. This is not the pup list. This would, at this point in time, if you're placed on IR, it would be a season-ending injury for Felix. We're going to talk more about that. Other injury news, Nazi Johnson dealing with a strained shoulder. Jalen Royals, knee tendonitis, not going to practice today. Hollywood Brown, though, is back out there. That's good news. And as far as the preseason game on Friday night, which you can hear right here on 96.5 The Fan, Andy Reid, as he said on Friday night, expects to have some starters play at Arrowhead against the Bears.
Next up on Watching, the Royals sweep the White Sox, completing it yesterday in a come-from-behind win. Starting in the seventh inning, they're now two games above 500 at 63-61. Take on the Rangers for a four-game set starting tonight at the K. I believe it's Waka on the mound tonight.
All right. No, Cameron just pitched over the week as well. Yeah, I think that would be correct. He should be up. Double check on that one. Of course, the game, as you said, right here.
I should have checked that before.
On 96.5, The Fan. Elsewhere.
Now I'm determined.
Elsewhere, soccer over the weekend. The KC Current ended in a draw with the Orlando Pride after a 3.5-hour delay. We're going to talk more about that at some point this hour. Also, Sporting was playing Orlando. They had a delay due to thunderstorms, I think, in Orlando. They lost 3-1.
We'll talk about the Current thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, really
it was weird. It was a mess.
Weird Saturday for a lot of people trying to attend the KC Current game on Sunday. Yourself.
Yeah.
Next up on What's Trending, Isaiah Bond signs a 3-year deal with the Cleveland Browns after not being drafted following some allegations of domestic violence. The charges were recently dropped, or they're not pursuing them, I guess, outside of that. He got $3 million guaranteed from the Browns. So, essentially paying him like he's a second-round pick in guaranteed money. Oh, boy, did their GM send out a soliloquy of, oh, we did our research and talked to all parties. Interesting way to stamp your brand. If you're Andrew Berry, the thing you're most known for is giving unprecedented money to accused either domestic violence or sexual assaulters.
And it's going to be Joe Flacco throwing him the ball, too.
Yeah, they just announced a few minutes ago.
Joe like within Flacco's the last, starter?
Within the last 2 minutes. No, week one will be Joe Flacco. He was always the favorite to be the week one starter. The question will be, how many games do we think he actually starts for the Browns? And how long does it take? Oh, I think it's over. I'll take the over on that.
I think I'll take more than 4-2.
Yeah, I'd take the over. If you give me 4, I'm taking the over. I think where it gets dicey, if you say 7.5. I think for Sanders or Gabriel to play, it's got to be cold out. It's got to start getting cold.
And they got to be out of
it. It's got to be November. It's got to be cold. I think we'll see him in November, maybe.
If they're like 3-8, then they're probably trotting out whichever rookie they think is next.
Waste of time. Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget our Chiefs roundtable coming up at Hollywood Casino. That with Mitch Holtis and Danon Hughes, Friday, August 29th at 6 p.m. Free and open to the public. Just got to be 21 to enter. Q&A plus a meet and greet to follow. Looking forward to seeing you all out there on August 29th.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. And on a Monday, our lunch partner, our friends over at 30 Hop. Today, $5.99 classic burgers. It's your new go-to. If you haven't been out there, it's an unbelievable spot with expansive patios. We keep telling you, on a nice day, the patios are awesome at both the Lee Summit or the brand new Merriam location. And Merriam, it's just over at Grand Station, that new area. It's beautiful with some stuff they have done there in terms of development. It's an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, an unbeatable happy hour. You can stop in for lunch, stay for a little happy hour. 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio. We're going to hear from Josh Simmons in a couple of minutes as well, but I want to go back, obviously, to what we started, what's trending with, and what we heard from Andy Reid with Felix Anidike-Uzomah. For starters, hamstring strain, likely head to the IR. That's pretty stunning in its own right. We don't know the severity. Clearly, it's very severe to do that. He was someone, we were talking with Nate Taylor at camp, that his job was not 100% locked to make the roster. Not that anybody wants anybody to get hurt, but this is a player that obviously has a first round pick from a couple years ago, unfortunately falls now undoubtedly in the category as one of the biggest busts, if not the biggest bust in the Brett Veach era. That's just the reality. I hate it for the kid. He's a local kid, a K-State grad. I'm just talking about the reality of the situation of where he was picked. And now the opportunity isn't even there for him anymore this year to try to show that there's some growth. He's not going to even have that shot because clearly it's a serious enough injury that they think they're going to have to put him on IR, which would be a season ender.
And if it ends this season, then two things are true. We've probably already seen the last snap he'll play as a Kansas City Chief, in my opinion, because you'd be 3 years into a 4-year deal with almost no progression or very little progression in play, not none, very little progression in play. And now a season coming off a major injury, and he's going to go down as the single worst draft pick of Brett Veach's entire history at this point.
It's only him and Speaks. Speaks wasn't a first rounder. Speaks only played 1 year.
Yeah.
It's close. It's close. Yeah, it's close. I think the draft pick spot would lean you towards FAU.
Would break the tie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's close because one guy literally only played 1 year. I mean, Breland Speaks played 1 year, as we all know.
Yeah.
And then he went to Jacksonville, I think, for a cup of coffee. And then he's played actually well for the UFL or something? He was like a defensive player of the year.
He picked up an NFL tryout, if you remember, he was the defensive player in the year in the UFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, for Felix himself, setting aside, feel horrible for the person.
Sure.
You get drafted your hometown team. You get to do all this stuff. This should be like a resounding moment in your life that you would hope leads to incredible things. Unfortunately for him now, he's got 2.5 sacks in 2 years, and now he's going to be hurt for the entire year. And I hate to say this,
but having a great camp either. Let's be real about it.
Or a good preseason. And so, I get stuck in this thing, and when you look at it and you're like, normally when injuries happen, you're like, ooh, how does this affect the team? And this sounds mean. Not much.
It's a depth thing.
It's a
depth thing.
Yeah, it injures their depth. But Gold, do you feel like, do we even have to have the conversation? Does this change your expectations overall for the defense? No, it means if you have an injury, it's a little harder to cover now that Felix is gone. But he wasn't going to be a major player.
He's going to play a couple snaps a game. He's going to play a couple snaps a game. I mean, his best moment obviously is the great play he made on a run play in the Super Bowl. That's the highlight. That's the highlight of his tenure in Kansas City to this point, and now maybe that is the highlight period. I don't know, right? Someone's asking a question I just don't think we have the answer to. How do you miss a season with a strain? Please explain. We're not doctors. I'm just telling you what Andy Reid said. Hamstring strain, likely to go on IR.
Severe would be
clearly
my guess.
Yeah, when he officially gets placed on IR, we'll see if the designation changes. I don't think he misspoke. I think he knows what he's saying when it comes to the injury report. So hamstring strain, I don't know. Our reaction admittedly was kind of similar. We're like, really, a strain is putting you out for the whole year? It clearly is very severe, you know?
Yeah, and I see somebody mentioning Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's like, Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he was a lead back in the NFL at least for a year. His rookie year went really well, and he was a productive player. He felt he would be on the list. But, I mean, Clyde played 4 seasons for this team and managed to accrue, I don't know, a couple thousand yards in his career. I'm not saying he had, some tremendous career, but a couple thousand yards and 12 touchdowns is certainly better than barely getting on the field, which does speak a little bit to it. Look, you're going to miss. This is not like an indictment on Brett Veach, who has done this. What's weird is like the way this has changed. Could you imagine any universe, Gold, in which we would call a first round pick a total bust who'd won two Super Bowls with this team? In his first 2 years in the NFL, he won back-to-back Super Bowls. Felix Anudike-Uzama has played 2 years in the NFL. He's only, well,
you'd have thought he'd been a big part of it, yeah.
He was only in the first, he didn't miss the first one, but he won one, so he won a Super Bowl. Won one and lost in another one. You would think that he was, yeah, a regular contributor. This is where I actually give Brett Veach a lot of credit before this just turns into a Brett Veach indictment hour. Really great teams will also miss picks. All the time, right? It happens all the time. They will miss picks. The difference is that really great GMs will make other picks that will make up for the loss. And so when you're like, well, boy, how do they mess up their first overall pick, 31st overall, standing out there in front of the entire Kansas City to take that pick, right? How do you miss that one and not feel the weight of it? Well, it's because you took Rashee Rice in round two and Connor, who plays for you a lot, or the year before when you took McDuffie and Karloftis and Williams, yeah, and for those, and all for, the other
for even more clarity, 913-586-7965. I've seen a lot of text about the IR like rule. So here's the here's the exact reason why. Like for those that are asking about how it works. So if you are placed on the IR before the start of the regular season, you can miss the entire season unless they are designated to return when the roster is trimmed to 53. They're not going to do that for him because this is not the same as in season. They would have to designate him and he would have to, at that point in time, when they trim it to 53 prior to start of the season. It sounds like that's not what they believe. It's not a 100% thing. It's a 95% thing.
If Andy's saying it in a press conference,
yeah,
they're going to put him on IR.
Yeah.
It's not, if he's saying they're probably going to put him on the IR, he's going to the IR. And that's, I mean, we very well might have seen the end of Felix's time in Kansas City as a result of it, which, yeah.
We'll find out when they officially.
Very big bummer.
We'll find out when they officially place him on it. Andy used the word likely. Yeah, it usually means it's going to happen, but we'll wait to see when it officially happens and get the official confirmation on the IR rule. But that's why they're talking about being out for the season.
Why? The only part that like puts conspiracy theory in the mind is what the text line is pointing out here as well, which is if it is a strain, what are you putting him on the IR for? Can't just put him on the PUP and then just hope to get him back later? Like, does, you know, like, it feels like there's always been this overhanging thing that we don't talk a lot about on air, where it didn't ever felt like Felix fit in with everybody on defense necessarily either, Gold. Not like from a, just like, it didn't seem like they had a way to use him efficiently, so I don't know.
I understand, like, the idea, here's it, like, for those who are talking about, like, stashing him and stuff, he hasn't been that good. Number two, we don't know the grade of the strain. Is it grade one, grade two, grade three? If it's grade three, is the worst, by the way. If it's that, it can be months.
Yeah, it can be.
So I don't know.
He finds another.
If it's a grade three strain, then it makes more sense. We don't have the answer to that.
It also opens up that roster spot you guys are talking about, where if it is a grade three and he's not able to physically try to be back until November, at that point, you're almost better off just.
You don't want to be holding the spot hostage.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone says you're dragging the kid through the mud. It's the reality of the situation. It sucks that he's hurt. We've acknowledged that. He was picked 32nd overall.
31st? Was that the year where there was no 32nd pick?
Fine. The Dolphins cheated, so there was 31st. Whatever. Whatever.
I was just trying to remember.
But yeah, it was the last pick of the first round. How about that? Yeah,
basically a second round
then
pick.
Then we know we're right.
And he has not lived up to that draft pick. There's a lot of reasons that go into that. It's the reality of the NFL. Nothing we have said is not just reality of the situation of how teams make draft picks and sometimes you swing and miss sometimes. And he was a swing and miss, and it sucks that he's hurt. But he, before the injury, also wasn't. This is not just because of the injury. I mean, this was a guy that unfortunately has not developed into the player that they thought he would be. That's just the reality of the situation. Sorry.
The other part is that I truly feel like
this is the NFL. We're not talking about your kid making a high school team. We're not talking about an 18-year-old. This is the NFL. He's getting paid millions of dollars. There's an expectation and also in how you discuss performance. Sorry.
The only part I would defend Felix on related to this is I thought he was put in a horrible spot by the organization. The whole, like, let's draft the hometown kid, fireworks going off in the background. I still firmly believe that Clark had an influence on them making that pick at 31 versus trading down because of Kansas City and the moment and the draft in Kansas City and all of that stuff. So I thought he was put in a disadvantageous position in the league.
Fair.
But he's had more than enough opportunity to just become like a good NFL player. just even like a good NFL player. And to this point, he hasn't turned into that. And I know it stinks because he's a hometown kid.
Sure.
Went to K-State. So there's so many people in Kansas City rooting for him. And that's why I said, I hope he takes this injury. And if he has to go to a new team, he finds a fresh start and a good landing spot and becomes a good NFL player for someone else. Not rooting against the kid. But the reason why it might be the last snap he took in Kansas City is because he largely has just failed here. Like, it has not worked. He's got three career sacks in what will end up being 3 years if he gets placed on the IR here officially soon. He'll have a Super Bowl win, a Super Bowl loss as a part-time player. For the 31st overall pick, it's just
You got to get more than that. Yeah. You just have to. That's just the reality of how the NFL works. And whether we were in Kansas City or talking about another team's first-round pick not panning out and not producing, we'd be saying, that player's a bust. That's just where he's at. You know, as far as long-term future, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, he still very likely can be in camp next year with the team and things like that. But anyway, if you're just joining us, Felix Anudike Uzomah, according to Andy Reid himself, likely headed to the IR with a hamstring strain. We were talking offensive line for a little bit before that news came out. And of course, Josh Simmons continues to be like the number one story and hopefully a huge bright spot as the season gets going here very, very soon. This is what Josh Simmons himself had to say moments ago about a couple preseason games.
I didn't know you wanted me to play it, so laugh at me moment, terribly, while I pull it up. There you go.
Hey, Josh, after getting a couple of preseason games in your belt now, how do you feel? Like, is it different than maybe you were thinking a couple of weeks ago? Do you feel like there's been some progression for you?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great piece that you can take to practice every week and kind of build off of. And I think it's great for a rookie because you don't know what the speed of the NFL is. Like, the preseason is still different from week one. So if I could just take the little baby nuggets that I'm getting in preseason and work on it for week one, it would be good.
Are there some things you've already taken away that you want to work on and improve going forward?
Absolutely. I think just really right now, me being as fresh as I am in here, I'm just working on everything. No matter if it's like something, athleticism, hand striking, just work on everything.
How important is the communication, not just even between like you and Kingsley, but even between you and Creed or Pat when it comes to the calls and everything?
Yeah, so I'm doing more of my communication, like usually with Kingsley or Creed and stuff like that, but it's vital. It's like you need that. Without that, I mean, it's you won't win any games or move any D lineman if you can't communicate, because then you're not going in the right direction.
Josh, I assume you go into week one, week two, whatever, knowing that there's going to be some stuff that you haven't seen before as far as blitzes and that sort of thing. How do you sort of prepare for the unknown? Is it just a lot of film watching? What's that process?
Yeah, film watching and just kind of playing like in every O-line group does Indy, and then you just kind of put yourself in that, you know, real third down in Brazil kind of situation going against the Chargers, and then you just kind of go from there, just kind of putting yourself in the situation practice.
Yeah. Sure. Have you felt like you've gotten more out of practice so far, or the times you've been in the preseason games, what's been the best learning stuff?
I would say a mixture of both, being able to go preseason and having that meeting right after, and then being able to take it to the field and then clean it up. That whole process, I think, is what works the best for me.
Do you feel like you've played enough so far in the preseason? I think you guys are going to play some on Friday, but you want more?
I absolutely want more. That we had, I think, one drive like for Seahawks, and I was like, there's no way. Because then you get warm, and you're just like, yeah, you're done. You're like, oh, okay.
How do you evaluate those few snaps you got against the Seahawks?
For me personally, obviously Coach Heck will give me everything I need to know, but for me, I try to go technique and then really just communicating. Obviously you can't see, but just try to be over communicative that way. We're all going in the right direction.
Can you think back through training camp and even these two preseason games where there was an aha moment, I got this. This is nothing, you know, this is second nature to me.
In preseason or?
Or even over the last month, was there a moment where you thought in your head, yeah, this is
I wouldn't say it was an I got it, but it was something, the cadence, like the way you got to be on time with that because these speed rushers are extremely athletic. So one tick late and, you know, he'll be at Pat's front door in like a second. So you got to get off, like, even if you got to go with the cadence, like literally time it up perfectly, but you can't be late with the cadence. That was probably my only aha moment.
Has there been any work as far as, you know, your stance? You know, it's because, you know, sometimes tackles can have a tendency to sometimes
tip plays a little bit. Have you gotten any concerns about that?
I do. It's tipping a lot of defenses and me just kind of kicking my foot back there. Like, nobody, maybe except Joe Thomas, can run block out of that. So I've been working on a lot, just to kind of square it up and be more universal with my stance. That way defenses aren't, oh, it's passed, so.
You feel like you're better at that now than you were maybe at the beginning of camp?
We're working on it for sure, because I'm trying to get back in the pass set to the spot. These guys are a little faster than college, but yeah, it'll be fixed for sure.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Josh.
So that was Josh Simmons just talking about the first couple games in preseason, at least for him, and mentioning it was asked if he feels like he's gotten enough time or whatever. Like, I think we're all gonna that'll truly be determined by the time we get to week one and he's in Brazil and he's playing the Chargers, and does he look?
He's a starter, no doubt. We don't have to worry about that.
No question. Like, yeah,
since
day one of camp, that has basically been locked in, the fact that he was available, you know, and now it's truly going to be of a timing thing. And overall, how does he get used to that first game in a really, really tough environment? That's like there's different layers in the test. Like, not only going up against a good edge rusher, but what happens when he's in like a truly hostile environment? I don't know if Brazil really will be that. It's a neutral site. What happens when their first big road game, like even the Giants, I don't know if I'll count that one unless the Giants are off to a 2-0 start or something. Like, what's the big game in, you know, the first game in Denver, the first game on the road in Buffalo?
What is like their first like really tough?
I mean,
their
I think,
neutral site, Philly.
Tough road
I'll
game.
Be honest,
home,
though.
Giants? What is their first tough road game? That's a good question.
Does it matter about the road game, or does it matter more about the D line? Because I think
I said both.
Because I think to me the Eagles game, game two, is the one where you're facing the D line that just won the Super Bowl. Everybody's back. This is where we're going to really see it. You know, like how I know it's only week two, but to what he said too, would you? I don't think Pat's going to play the whole quarter, even though I don't think it's going to happen. Would you leave him out for the whole quarter just to try to get him? I know that you're a little bit weary maybe because of the knee, but him saying, I just barely got warm and then I'm taken out already, like just to give him one extra drive.
Probably. He stayed out for an extra drive in the first game.
If the Bears starters are still out there for whatever reason, maybe.
They'll leave the O-line out there for one series longer than Patrick, most likely. That's still what they've been willing to do, even going back to the first preseason game. No, I'm with you that, as I said, there's different tests throughout the season. One of them is facing an edge rusher, right? That's elite. The other test I was saying
that'll
was just right away. is the first real hostile environment. No, I'm with you that.
That one then?
That's what we were in the process.
Well, the first
can't be the Giants.
The first elite level defensive end, week two against Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's what Drew was saying.
Yeah, you'll get your hands full as much as you want there. And like you mentioned, the Giants and these other ones, the first difficult road environment, I wish I was kidding, is not until week nine at Buffalo. Seriously, go through it. And I hadn't thought about that, really. Chargers is neutral site. Philly at home. Giants is not a difficult road environment. Ravens at home. Jags isn't a difficult road environment.
No. Yeah.
Lions at home. Raiders at home. Commanders at home. Bills on the road. He'll have eight full games of work in.
Just from an atmosphere. There's some good defensive fronts.
I mean, atmosphere.
We know the Eagles front. Heck, the Giants, as bad as they are as an overall team, their defensive front's no joke. They will have plenty of tests in terms of personnel. We're just saying, when's it personnel and a ridiculous environment? Yeah. Sounds like Buffalo. Yeah.
Week nine.
Buffalo and the Broncos back-to-back weeks.
The Broncos are the biggest one.
Buy one between them. But those are the two that at least you're getting some juice in there. And again, they've got a lot of difficult defensive lines.
All right, up next, we'll talk a little bit about something that happened over the weekend. It also ties into our random question of the day. Plus, the latest with Rashee Rice, Andy Reid was asked about it as well. That's coming up here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. It relates to an experience over the weekend. Something that some of you might have also had the same situation play out on Saturday afternoon/evening in Kansas City as well. So we'll get to that. You guys can always chime in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Don't forget on Mondays to check out our friends over at 30 Hop, our lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. Great deal on Mondays. $5.99 classic burgers. It doesn't get anybody much better than that. Just $5.99 classic burgers. They're no new go-to in American bar and kitchen with bold flavors. Keep telling you about the patios, local taps, out in Lee Summit, just down the road from us in Merriam. They're a proud lunch partner of the show. You can stop in for lunch, stay for a happy hour. The menu has something for everybody. It is a vast menu. We've tried multiple dishes from there. 30hop.com, local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. Last week, we talked a lot about Rashee Rice and the latest with the hearing and why is it September 30th?
And then the conspiracies around it from Mike Florio and others.
And I think that part of it at least got debunked, like, truly from the NFL Network themselves, because Tom Pelissero on Friday afternoon, actually, I think it was like 5:45 by the time this news came out, mentioned that the NFL, they're the ones that basically have caused this delay. They wanted a 10-plus game suspension, to which the NFLPA and Rashee Rice said, yeah, there's no precedent for that. So therefore, we need to have a hearing. Here's the full details.
Rashee Rice pled guilty last month to two third-degree felony charges stemming from a car crash at high speeds back in March of 2024. The expectation is Rashee Rice is going to be suspended for a portion of the 2025 season. The question now is how much? My understanding is the NFL initially proposed a lengthy suspension, double-digit games for Rashee Rice. The players' union and Rashee Rice's attorney and agents argued for a much shorter suspension, in part because there is no precedent for suspending someone for over half the season in a case like this. So as you mentioned, there is a September 30th hearing set before former federal judge Sue L. Robinson, who previously heard the initial Deshaun Watson case several years ago here. But there is still a possibility that the sides could come together and agree to a settlement on a suspension that would allow Rice to be suspended at the start of the season. If not, then he would be eligible for at least those first three games. But given the fact that not only the decision-making process, but potential appeals could extend that process into October or November if it goes before Judge Robinson, this is something then that could potentially jeopardize his availability for the postseason. A lot to consider as this case moves forward.
So the postseason thing would be just ridiculous and
that would be
unreal.
Insane.
That's what obviously fans across the NFL want to have happen that are not in Kansas City and all this. I'm sure that would make their week and make their day. But as far as the latest update, I guess there's still a chance that he's suspended week one if they were to reach a settlement before the hearing. But
what's
that
the number
seems
they
very
would both accept? I think Rashee would accept six.
And we think that we might be like, they might be thinking they can still get this thing to four. I don't think through a hearing and then eventual appeal potentially that this isn't like six at this point. Like I'll be thrilled and shocked almost if it's below six at this point. The league wants 10 or more. We don't know if that's 12, if it's 10 or 15. We have no idea, right? They want more than 10, according to Tom Pelissero. But the timeline is what's really tricky. If they don't reach a settlement, so September 30th is going to happen. It could be 2 weeks after that before the judge rules. Then the NFL could say, yeah, we don't like that appeal. You ruled five. Then they appeal. It honestly could be middle of November before a suspension starts. That's crazy. What we don't know is the judge going to be lenient? Just because she was lenient on the Deshaun Watson thing does not mean that she's going to side.
Different cases.
This one, she has two felonies to look at versus no criminal conviction,
and
obviously,
the scene of a crime
on the Deshaun
stuff,
Watson thing. Not saying Watson's situation wasn't serious and everything that went with those allegations, but this is actually a player that has criminal charges that pled guilty to two felonies. So she may not, even though there's no precedent, she may not side as favorable to the player as maybe she did on the initial Deshaun Watson ruling.
There is no precedent because there is no case exactly like this one. We have incidences of players speeding dangerously, but we do not have one where they speed dangerously, cause an accident, and then leave said scene of crime of said accident and will have to spend time in jail as a result of the accident. All of that definitely made me think it was always going to be more than just the normal person who gets in trouble and gets multiple games like Addison did, right? In three. I always thought it was more than that. But I was quite surprised on Friday when I saw that the NFL wanted to hit him with 10. And I imagine that if I were the Chiefs or Rashee Rice or his lawyer or the NFLPA, I'd be like, pump the brakes here for a minute. What? Like, we have people who get in real trouble for crazy things all the time in this league. And we bury them, and we're quiet about it. And you're here to tell me that because the guy got into a car accident, a very dangerous one, it was hurt somebody.
That's downplaying a little bit.
I'm not trying to downplay it. What I'm saying is, like, if I were, this is the argument I'd be making if I were the NFLPA. Is that we have all kinds of incidents. And you're telling me that somebody who may have sexually assaulted 30 different masseuses.
Right, but they were never convicted, Cody.
I understand.
I'm not defending them, but they weren't convicted. This has actual charges, but go ahead.
I totally understand. You're trying to tell me that these are on par or the other criminal cases. Dude, there's other criminal cases. People have been busted with a lot of different stuff over a lot of different stuff in domestic violence and others, and they don't want to go one for one. 10 is coming in heavy. Yeah, that's coming in swinging a stick. And that's what's surprising to me is like, you didn't even like try to go for the number you thought maybe they'd kind of take. You knew when you came in with 10, they weren't going to take that. You know, they weren't going to go anywhere near.
Yeah,
them.
and he has the right via the appeal, was collectively bargained. He has the right to appeal. That's why the conspiracy stuff about the league trying to intentionally make sure he can play week one was ludicrous, because it's in fact it's the process that everybody's allowed, and also it's the NFL's depending on your standpoint or view, I should say, the NFL's very, very strong punishment that they want. You know, I think this is very, very complicated, because there is, yeah, no apples to apples comparison, but also the fact that we are talking about jail time and two felonies that he pled guilty to, that's different than just allegations or civil suits and things like
just
that.
Just getting a ticket for going 140 like Addison.
If he just got a ticket, he'd be getting, two, three games.
He wouldn't even get suspended. Addison got the ticket and didn't get suspended. It was the most recent.
Yeah, the driving criminal. Under the influence. Yeah.
He drove 140 miles an hour and didn't receive a single game. That's the problem. This is where, like, Gold, I think if you're a judge, and like, I understand there's different criminal stuff that comes with that, because if you speed at 140 miles an hour and don't cause an accident, that's a different thing. Then you cause a crash, you hurt people. There are other criminal charges that come with it. But from an NFL perspective, they're trying to treat it like that too. And I'm not sure, because we don't have any precedent in it, what the judge is going to have to say about that. I know that there's additional criminal stuff that comes with it. That's why felonies and jail time and all that stuff. How does the NFL view it? Clearly very seriously. They think that the difference between the action, I think, causing a problem and not causing a problem is a threefold, fourfold suspension.
I think the fact the Henry Ruggs thing existed, the terrible incident that someone lost their life, is also why the NFL may be trying to come down very, very hard on this, because of that incident already taking place. And Henry Ruggs obviously is behind bars. Someone says the league has let Ruggs back. No, they haven't.
He's still in jail.
He's still behind bars. There's obviously reports that he might be able to leave prison earlier or whatever, however they want to phrase it. But the league hasn't let Henry Ruggs back in. He literally is behind bars as we sit here and talk right this second. So no, the league has not let Henry Ruggs back.
Does the potential for it to reach to be included in the playoffs make Rasheed say, you know what, even if it's 8, I just want to get it done. Like, get it done. It's behind me fully and completely. Never have to think about it again.
I don't think he'd accept 8, man. I don't think he'd accept.
Is it worth the risk to know that it is?
We don't know what's going to happen in a case. I think there's almost no way that this judge would decide that 8 is fair.
I don't know. I don't think we can. I don't think.
We have no idea.
Yeah, like, I know.
I don't think. Yeah, I understand. I don't know.
I know. I'm just saying if they settled. Like if the NFL said, you know what, we'll do 8. Before they even get to the trial or whatever it is, but before they get to that meeting, does Rasheed, he's like, you know what, I'm going to take my 8. It's taking too much time. I'll start it at the beginning of the season. We'll ride it out, and then I'll be done with it. And I'll be able to play in week 9 against Buffalo, and I'm not going to have to worry about this ever again.
Here's the thing, though. You know, we talked to Nate Taylor about it last week. You know, as much we say, like, the player, the team, who has the say, ultimately it's up to Rasheed Rice and his representation whether or not they're willing to, you know, other than the final.
Can give an opinion.
Like, you know, Andy Reid, you know, we asked Nate Taylor. He said maybe in years prior, Andy Reid would have had more influence in, like, trying to convince the player to just take a certain suspension or whatever it may be. Like, this is more of a Rasheed Rice decision at some point in time, whether or not, you know, they want to continue appeal. Like, that also is already playing. He clearly has already kind of told us a little bit. Clearly, 10 games or double digit games is not acceptable to him. And so he's fighting it. He's going through the system that he is allowed to go through via the collectively bargained agreement, which is to appeal, essentially, or have a disciplinary hearing.
It kind of feels like if Rasheed wants 4 and he wants 10, like the NFL wants 10 and Rasheed wants 4,
then you're not settling at 8.
6-7 feels like the logical landing point.
But is the NFL willing to settle? See, that's the other thing.
The NFL wanted a year. She said 5. They settled on 10. So the NFL got the advantage of the appeal process with her. Then they said, not hard enough. Go harder.
Yeah, but again, that took an appeal. So that's the same thing here. Let's say this judge says 6. The NFL wanted 12, let's say. So she says 6 for Rice. Does does the NFL say six is not enough again? It goes to an appeal, and then that judge, that arbiter, says, okay, nine is actually fair, and then we're stuck at nine. Meanwhile, it's already November 10th. That's the worst case scenario type of
stuff.
Is
it worth it going into the playoffs to save yourself two games in the regular season? Because I don't know what those games would be exactly, but is it worth it to risk not playing in a wild card or in a divisional round game because you want to try to salvage the extra two games that you
had? He played all season last year. This answer might be different, but because he missed all of last season, he might be feeling different than that now, Drew. He only has a year to get paid.
Mm.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today for you gold. Drew, text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show. Like and subscribe over on YouTube or Twitch. Pop to the top of your feed and watch this show live. This question comes courtesy of Alex Gold's very personal experience on Saturday. So for those who weren't at the current game or weren't following it on social media, what happened to you on Saturday?
So the KC Current, I have season tickets, love going to games. I've had season tickets for multiple years now. And a little backstory, I was going with somebody that is from the UK and was in town, obviously a big soccer fan. And so that is needed to point out when you realize how long I waited, because you might be like, why didn't you just leave? The reason was I was with somebody that was in from out of town. So that's why. But basically, the game was going to start at 3 o'clock, national CBS game, KC Current versus Orlando Pride. 3 o'clock hits. All of a sudden, there's a PA announcement that says, due to inclement weather, the game is being delayed. And so I'm not even kidding. In the concourse, everybody looked up at the sky at first. Like, wait.
Is there like something I'm missing?
So then very quickly, like, oh, it must be because of heat. And it was.
It was very hot.
I texted somebody and found out it was for the heat. But at the time, for, I don't know, at least 15 minutes, there
You're
was
lucky
no...
You could text somebody, so people just didn't know.
Yeah, so everybody's in the stadium, and for 15-plus minutes initially, there's no other update. It's just literally like, it just says, delayed. No countdown, nothing. Then, eventually, there's an announcement that we are doing wet bulb testing, which I'll be honest, I learned something on Saturday. I guess it's been around for... I was not familiar.
We don't shame on this show. Wet bulb testing?
Wet bulb testing. It has to do with like how quickly your body can evaporate... The sweat evaporates or something. It's like this little device that just spins around on the field, and it has a gauge and a temperature. It has to be below 92 or 92 and a half degrees. And so it wasn't. And it was above that 93, 92.9 or whatever it was, okay? And so this goes on for a little bit. Finally, I don't know, 3:30 or so, we get some cloud cover. You're like, yes, it goes down to 91. So like, okay, they bring everybody back out on the field. So you're thinking, oh, we got a shot. But they're like, we got to do another test in like 5 minutes to make sure. Of course, that next test, it's too high. The players go back in the locker room. They had said they thought they were going to start at 3:45. That didn't happen. Next thing you know, we're in the 4 o'clock hour. They keep doing these tests. It's 4:15. It's 4:30. Finally, there's an announcement.
So they just do one every 15 minutes?
Essentially. Finally.
Do you see them do the test?
Yes. It's right there in the middle of the field. Yeah. Which I always joke. I joke, can they not just put that device in the shade instead? Look, I understand why the rule exists. You got to keep the players safe. My issue is,
I watched the Chiefs play in like.
I understand. It's just, it's a deal that the league has collectively bargained, thinking of that. Okay. I understand the safety of the players. I think the issue that a lot of people had was the communication, and then also, what about the safety of the fans, right? Like, you're asking fans to sit out there in the same heat. I understand they're not running around, but still, these people are not in shape. We're just normal people here, okay? All ages, okay? All ages. Some people are in their 80s. Some people are little kids, whatever. So this goes on. Eventually, Cody, they finally announce that the game is not starting till 6:30 and you can leave. They had some of the star players come out and thank the fans. That's and nice. Say, hey, we didn't want this to be delayed. All right, so 3.5 hour delay. It was absolutely
insane.
Absurd.
You stuck through it?
Stuck through it because I was with somebody. So the Current obviously has taken a ton of heat for this. And I think maybe communication wise, it could have been better.
The social media communication was lacking.
I think though, truly who is responsible and who should be getting the most heat. And I think it's greed. It's the NWSL, which is the league, and CBS, the TV partner. If this game, Cody, was not on CBS, there's no chance that the Current would not have just moved the game time earlier in the day. Or the night before, they would have moved it to 7 o'clock start or something.
Because it was prime time.
So I believe, my understanding, talking with people as well, is the league and CBS were pushing and pushing that 3 o'clock national window game. Got to have this game. Oh, we got to get this game in. And after it all settled, the game was never on national TV. Fans were ticked off.
Was there anyone left in the stands?
There was like maybe, I would say 70% of people had left.
So the random question I guess I have is, what is the longest you've waited for something and actually stayed? Most recently, the longest wait I've had is when I had to wait like 2.5 hours at the DMV, but I had no choice there. Life was life, and I had to wait for it.
Those waits are terrible.
That one was pretty bad. I once waited 3.5 hours the first week the Mamba opened to ride a ride. That probably feels like at the peak of maybe all my waiting in the history of time.
But that's different. That's your, like, that's, you knew there was going to be a wait.
Dude, there were signs everywhere. I knew how long it was going to take me to get on the Mamba.
That's the issue with this thing at the game is, like, if you would have told people the fact that there was no announcement for the delay till 3 o'clock at game time, if they would have said at 2 o'clock, hey, the game's going to be delayed, you can leave, come back at 7 o'clock or whatever, that's the biggest issue.
So I'm curious, does this include being allowed to leave and then come back?
No. The question I'm asking for the random question is,
you have to have been there the entire time.
Versus, like, they say it's an 8-hour start and then you come back. Not counting as waiting. Okay. I want waiting as in you are on the premises the entire time for the purposes of
that
the
question.
Yeah, I think it's more for sports because you're naming non-sports stuff. Like, for me, my answer then is back in early 2000s, I was at from 3 a.m. to whatever waiting in line at a Hastings for an Nintendo GameCube, okay?
You know, like, that's the kind of answers I'm looking for.
But that is, like, truly my choice, and also I knew what I was getting myself into.
Yeah,
when people showed up to the game on Saturday at 2:20, they did not have any reason to believe the game was not going to start at 3 o'clock. It's not the same as a thunderstorm popping up and all of a sudden lightning, and that's the issue.
As a Royals insider, I think I waited through a 3.5-hour long delay, but I wasn't allowed to leave.
Yeah.
Or, to be clear, I would have, as correctly pointed out by the text line, Vinny also couldn't handle the heat on Saturday.
Yeah, he had to leave. Up.
Dude, his tweet, A++++++.
Very good.
His tweet referencing the Ichiro comment of two rats and a wool sock in this town. It's an all-time great quote about this city. I love that cut from the Bob Costas interview. Him referencing that after having to leave the game
for
heat related illness is
great pull. It was very dangerous on Saturday. Like, I mean, you have a professional athlete in that case.
The problem is, like, they're saying they can't play, but you're just out here cooking.
Yeah, it was not. It was a mess. Right. I think a lot of people are to blame. I still think if that game was not on national TV, the Current would have just moved the game time like a day or two earlier or something. Like, it's just that's the issue.
Get a goal, man.
Yeah, okay. And then it was a draw after all that.
A 0-0 draw,
I love,
too, which
and
is
I love
tough.
Going to games there.
They're great.
I just think the league and the TV network failed miserably. And yes, the Current could have communicated better as well. I just think their hands were tied with what the league and CBS were forcing them to do. But
from the 913, I had to wait for over 24 hours for my stubborn son to make his appearance into this world.
Because both of our kids were C-sections, it was literally like we just made an appointment. You show up at 9, kid was born at like 9:10. Both kids. Like, no waiting, no sitting around, no fuss. Show up. She gets an. Now, look, more fuss for her. She had to go through.
I was
going to
say. Yeah, it was easy for you, Cody.
Yeah. I mean,
easy
from a
you.
Schedule.
Easy
from
for
a
you.
Schedule
both
perspective.
Both of them, Cody. That's crazy.
From a schedule perspective, it was simple. Not obviously. Having your entire insides thrown onto a table. Okay. Not so simple.
Thank you for the description of what happens. Thank you.
You ever seen a C-section? Real horror show.
Also, real quick. What a crazy question to ask me. Have I ever seen someone get a C-section?
Video.
When do you think I would have seen that in person?
A health class. I mean, like in a video.
Okay.
Not in person.
No.
I was never
neither.
Sure. I was never forced to watch a C-section
you
while
should.
I was in school.
You both
no,
should
I,
watch
I
one
don't.
Tonight.
Not,
no. That's weird. No.
No. I don't want to.
You should know about the human
respect
body.
Respect to all the women out there.
I'm good. Thank you.
But I don't. Yeah, I'm okay.
You should know what they're going through.
So my answer was going to be the same answer from the 913. There was a NASCAR race last year. The closest finish in NASCAR history, by the way, here at Kansas Speedway.
All right.
There was a long rain delay. I ended up going back home before coming back. So my answer would have been this, where it would have been a healthy 5-hour rain delay. The answer that I have actually is another NASCAR race. My dad and I were at Texas, and there was a rain delay probably 3.5 or 4 hours where we were there. This is when I was living in Indy. We have nowhere to go. The hotel, we had already checked out of the hotel. This is the day we're going to go see the race, and then we're going to leave. I ended up having to change flights, actually, obviously, because it was a night race instead. But 4.5 hours of just sitting there, hanging out, doing absolutely nothing.
That's tough.
Cody, you're crazy for what you just suggested. Go home and watch one.
You
also
should know what people go through.
It is the lunch hour. It is 12:56 in Kansas City.
There are multiple people saying I was eating lunch.
There's people in their car right now eating their lunch on their work break, and you're out here talking about things being thrown around in their insides.
We don't have to see it to understand.
We're good. Thank you.
To understand it.
I don't think you're getting all the context.
I'm sure we're not, but I think...
I've got to figure it out.
I think we're okay.
All right, up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold and what Rob Manfred is proposing. We like it. It could be a lot of fun for fans in baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.